Love.
Love Line is meant for an adult audience. Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is not Dr. Drew. That is Dr. Bruce and his laser. Dr. Bruce, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, removes tats off prisoners with lasers, and then takes years off the pusses of Beverly Hills chicks. Absolutely. With the same laser. What versatility.
Yep.
Dr. Bruce knows emergency medicine, addiction medicine, so if one of you rockers ODs tonight, Bruce will be there. Or if you need a tat of an ex, some chick you met on the road burned off, yeah, Bruce will be there. Phone
they
number.
More sober than you, Adam.
I know. It's they're. I think they're like those hard edge guys. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Bruce filling in for Drew just one more night. Brad, Mike here from Lincoln Park. Doug here from Hoobastank. Last minute. And the reason these guys are here is to talk about the tsunami and the relief effort. And I may screw up some things because we just got started. But I had heard that Lincoln Park had ponied up $100,000, which I thought was very impressive, just the other day. And I'm guessing Hoobastank is now involved as well as other bands.
Yeah, we ponied up $101,000.
Oh, 101.
We waited to see what they were going to pitch in and then, you know.
And who else is involved and how does it work? And we'll give you some phone numbers or some web addresses and all that stuff, and you can dig deep and donate yourself. So let's just talk about the project in the first place. What's it called and how do people get involved?
Okay, I'll break it down from the get-go. Please. So everyone fully understands what we're talking about. This is Brad, by the way. Not to be confused with these other clowns.
Right.
We in Lincoln Park have actually had the opportunity to play all over the world. And in particular, we've had amazing experiences in South Asia, Southeast Asia. So when we saw the devastation on the news, it really hit home.
So you played in the place, at least yeah. nearby the
no,
places?
I mean, we've played in Malaysia. We've played in Thailand. We've played in Indonesia.
Really?
Yeah, so we've pretty much seen where these places are, and it's easy to just feel like, I was telling Doug, because Hoobastank has been there as well, I think it's easy to just think, oh, that's somewhere else, that doesn't really affect me.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've been there, and those people are people just like us. So what we did is we made a donation to the Red Cross, who we've worked with before, and we actually started an organization called Music for Relief, and the mm-hmm. idea behind it is let's try to put together like almost like a coalition of artists who really care about raising the emergency funds that the Red Cross needs to get, you know, the water issues, the medicine, get all the aid to these people, but also get their fans involved as well. So it's really been a collective effort in the music industry.
And by the way, I know a lot of people think it's that sort of, between the sort of act of God part and mm-hmm. the people I'm not too familiar with part, it's easy to sort of, you know, it doesn't come home like 9/11 kind of stuff.
Right.
And I don't know, just in a weird sort of humanistic, philosophical kind of way, I don't think the act of God stuff elicits enough sympathy from people. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, maybe I'm just making this up, but it's like, oh, if a terrorist had hit him, everyone would immediately rally.
It's because you got someone to get angry at, you know?
Right. If an earthquake did it or a volcano went off, it's kind of like, well, they must have angered the ocean god. You know, it's a weird, I don't know, it's a weird, like, primitive thought. And I'm sort of guilty of it myself. It's like, oh, thank God it wasn't a terrorist attack. But just as many bodies are in the ground, and just as many people are without water and without medicine and whatever. Actually, much more, yeah. I would say. So
I think the timing is great with these guys, too, because now is when people really have to be prodded, because especially with the kids over there, there are all these diseases that are going to start just creeping, and cholera and amoebic dysentery, and these are things that hit kids particularly hard.
Yeah,
so,
if you can even imagine, like, you know, how many sick there are out there right now, and the fact that one of the main problems is just clean water.
Right.
If you went to a hospital and they didn't
Huge.
Have clean water to wash the things that they're using or their patients, it's like, it's a horrible thing, and that's part of the reason why we're so glad that everybody jumped in so quickly.
Right.
What is it they need the most of besides just money?
Well, they actually need just money.
That's it.
The problem,
they need so many things.
A lot of times people say, I want to give blankets or canned goods or whatnot.
Right.
But a lot of those actually carry hidden costs that make it more cumbersome for the relief workers to actually get what they need to the people who need it. So by giving them cash, it allows the experts that are actually there on the ground to take that and get exactly what they need to the people who need it the fastest.
And is the Red Cross the best way to go about that?
Well, they're an agency that's extremely well respected around the world, and we've worked with the Red Cross after September 11th and also after Hurricane Charley, so we really feel confident with them. That's why we've partnered with them to create Music for Relief.
You do hear about these stories of these unscrupulous guys coming about and starting like bogus websites and ripping people off, and I just think to myself, like, first off, cosmically, where does that put you? You've just you know, some chick in Iowa raised a bunch of money from her school, from her third grade class, and they sent it to you so you could get a new Kirker pipe for your jet ski. Like, cosmically, where does that put you? But, like, I always wonder just how these guys operate sort of emotionally. Like, I don't think they look in the mirror and go, man, am I a horrible person? I think they go, like, hey, man, if you're stupid enough to, then you deserve her. Who is that
sociopathy
guy?
Like, it's just horrible.
I understand the guy that steals the pie that's cooling on the, you know, he's stoned and he's taking a walk and he smells some of Aunt B's apple pie. He goes and gets some. But the guy's going to rip off and bilk people based on 9/11 or based on some hurricane or based on a tsunami. I mean, what kind of, I mean, is that worse? I mean, are you the worst? Is there anyone worse than you in that case?
Child exploiters, those are the worst.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
I think when I see what's happening with the people that are going into these camps, refugee camps, and trying to get kids out for the slave trade and things like this. It's when people take advantage of children, and it ties into the helping that you're doing.
People are very vulnerable right now, and that's why, as you said, it's so important not just to give, but to give immediately.
Right.
Because they need help right now.
And what is the long-term sort of prognosis? I mean, what is the plan? Are we just in cleanup mode right now and then start trying to control any outbreaks of disease?
Right. What's like the guys are saying, hitting it on the head, is water, pure water and sanitation, because the type of problems, cholera is spread by impure water and it causes dehydration. And it's as simple as having getting the water purification going, getting the sanitation systems back in place. And then IV fluids for the dehydration that these diseases cause is almost immediately effective in saving lives.
And I heard there was a typhoon like blowing through there as well. As if they didn't have an ass full of water already, then like a hurricane or some sort of at least major storm hit like the following week. And by the way, I don't know anything about that region other than a friend of mine said she went to Thailand a couple of months back and said amazing, beautiful, beautiful people. Everyone's great. Food's good. Yeah. So I said, all right. I've never been there, but now I want to go, but I'd like them to clean it up, actually, and then I'm heading over. Are you guys going out? Are there any plans? Is there a benefit concert? Is there anything we want to plug?
I don't know if there, I mean, I don't know. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Are you sure? It might be really important.
I'll hold your hand while you talk.
Okay. Thanks, man. Actually, we are going, not for anything like officially or originally that was going to be a benefit to, thanks Brad, he's holding my hand, to Bangkok the first week of February. Originally it was just for the MTV Asia Awards, but after speaking with the producers and people who are putting it on, they are going to turn it into a benefit. So you know, it's just going to be interesting to be there again. We were there in Bangkok a couple years ago, and like Brad said, you know, we've all been there recently, I know.
It's awesome there.
Yeah, it's an amazing place. But yeah, that's that answers your question. That's what we're going there, and it's going to be a benefit.
All right, so let's give some should we give a website?
Yeah, it's real simple, Mike. You want to tell them what?
Yeah,
people
it's
can
really
do?
Simple. We made it easy for everybody. It's just musicforrelief.org. No spaces, no slashes. Just musicforrelief.org. And there are links to just about everything you need there. Some news clips, and ways to donate, addresses you can send checks to, and how to do that. Pretty much everything you need is right there.
And also you can call the Red Cross's main 800 number, which is 1-800-HELP-NOW. And if you press number 2, it'll actually take you to the Music for Relief. And the money that Music for Relief raises goes to the International Response Fund, which is money set aside specifically to helping the quake and tsunami victims.
Right. So the, whatever money you give is going there.
Exactly.
All right. It's not going up the nose of some oil baron in the Middle East, as so much of it does, Drew. I mean, Bruce. Yeah, that's a good sign.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're right on.
Yeah. When I call Drew Bruce, he just clutches at his heart like Fred Sanford. He yells, I'm coming to his ex-wife. Yeah. All right, let's take some calls. It is, timing-wise, again, another inane point, but having a major thing happen around the holidays where people are a little softened up and sort of in that reflective mode is probably a good time. You don't want to like something to hit in June. Everyone's on vacation. No one gives a rat's ass. People are drunk. Holidays where you're sort of sitting around and you're going, man, you're right. I have it so good, you know. It is true. We do have it so much better than the rest of the world. And let me just say this on another cosmic point in terms of giving. People think if they give something to somebody, they're going to have less. But I was really thinking about the handful of guys. I was talking to an old buddy of mine from North Hollywood, my first roommate, guy I've known for 25 years. And I said, let's think of the two guys we know who give the least and mention their names over the years, Dave and Ray. You probably met both of them. Those guys have given the least out of anyone I know, and all the guys and all the buddies and everyone. And they have the least. This is just over the course of 25 years. The guys I know, and Jimmy Kimmel's one of them. That's right. I'm not just kissing celebrity ass. The guy's a generous guy and was generous long before he had any money. When he was just, driving a beat up RX-7 and working on K-Rock, he was a very generous guy. Wasn't making any money. He was very generous. He has the most, and he clearly, by far and away, gives away the most and always has. So there's a connection between the guys who give it away and the guys who get the most. And it's not some sort of weird cosmic John Lennon thing. It's just is. It's almost a weird sort of inverse math equation. The people I know that are the most generous are the people that have the most. And the people that are always looking out for number one, looking for an angle, and trying to rip somebody off have nothing.
Yeah. Adam, can I throw some out
Go.
There? Go. If anybody is, if Jimmy, I didn't know that about Jimmy. If Jimmy's yes. listening, or if anybody who knows Jimmy's listening and he hasn't already donated to a fund, mm-hmm. Jimmy, call in now. Call
yes.
us now and let us know that you're going to be a part of this.
Yeah.
We are like we've been saying, it just started up and time is of the essence. So
he's a big network guy.
Mike has now posed a challenge to Jimmy Kimmel.
Challenging you, Jimmy.
You're totally calling him out.
I'm calling you out. It'd be cool if he just calls him.
That's him doing me. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Well. Yeah, he's, got the divorce coming up, so things are a little bit tighter than they normally are. You know, talk
he's
about giving,
giving,
by
yeah.
the way.
Oh,
not in the giving mood.
Until it hurts. It's got to hurt. Yeah, but, Jimmy, if you're listening, buddy, give a call. Make a pledge.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone, make your pledge tonight. All right, let's start by speaking to Peter, who's 23. Peter?
Hey, Adam, how you doing?
23, what's up?
Yeah, how y'all doing? First of all, I think Linkin Park, they're in the studio.
Yes sir.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah.
And Hoobastank.
Okay, great. I'm a big fan. You guys need to come to New Orleans. Anyway, listen, Adam, I had a question. Okay, Loveline is like a program where people can call in and discuss their problems and get medical responses and advice, correct?
Let me explain something. It'd be so easy to hang up on Peter right now, but callers, critical callers, to me are like a loose tooth that I can't stop flicking with my tongue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It hurts. I know it's coming. I know where this is going.
Yeah,
his question is scratching and itching, wants to know if it's VD. Obviously, it's a critique of the show. And here's the thing. We should just out of principle hang up on him because it's not the call that he said it was, but it's that tooth. I can't stop flicking it. Yes, Peter, I'm so secure, I'm going to let you finish your point.
Okay, and, I appreciate you not hanging up, and that's very professional. And
I am a pro, yes.
Okay, listen, and I know that you're a comedian, you got to do your comical part, and it's part of the deal, and it's part of the show. But if you could just maybe let the doctor get a little more input in, and maybe mm-hmm. have more of a serious conversations. Not that you're not doing a good job, you're doing a great job, you've
yeah.
had a proven career.
Listen, I would... here's the deal, and especially with Drew, we figured it out. We both get paid the same, except for I average getting paid about $4 a syllable, and Drew gets $1,856 a syllable. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, at the end, we get the same paycheck. It's just I talk 25 times as much as he does. So I'm actually doing all the heavy lifting. Mm-hmm. I don't mind sitting back and letting Drew bore people for a while. And I have no problem with it. And I would love to. I would love to talk less. Believe it or not, I would love to talk less. But the show starts to settle and even drag a little bit. And that's what I'm worried about.
Yeah.
All right? And let me just be fair to me one more time. When David Alan Greer comes in here, first off, Adam Carolla, one of the most generous guys I know. When David Alan Greer comes in here, he talks his ass off, and I barely say one word because David Alan Greer's funny, David Alan Greer's entertaining, and he's talking.
And you can't shut him up.
And you can't shut him up. But I don't talk. No. If we get a guy in here who wants to start yapping, and once out of every 55 guests, we get Steve-O comes in here when lights his nutsack on fire, and he's beaked up on, like, Percocets or something, and he never stops talking, he can talk. Mm-hmm. All right? All right, I'm going to...
And so that Bruce, was the question?
That was awesome.
I don't know what the question was, but...
We got to...
Bruce, you want to handle this one?
Set me up.
All right, here we go. Sandy.
Hi.
Talk to Bruce.
I just want to say hi to all you guys. Linkin Park and the Saint Cassette concert in February in San Francisco. It was awesome.
Thank you.
And okay, my question is, I wanted to know when is it the right time to start having sex in a relationship? Because I went out with these guys.
420.
Oh, bro.
I was going out with a guy, and I just had, like, I was digging him. You know, I really liked him. And he liked me, so, you know, we did it after a week. And obviously, that things didn't turn out too great afterwards. Mm-hmm. So, like...
Why?
Because...
You went too soon.
It was all wrong. I mean...
She's 17.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You can have sex on the first date, get married, and live happily ever after. It lowers...
Unlikely, but...
It's a little more unlikely, but it's not the kiss of death. Right. I mean, there's no hard fast rule on when you get it on. I think whenever it feels
so
right.
If you're 17, you have sex.
The younger you are, the longer you should string that out.
Right.
By the time you get into your 80s, you don't even come into the house on a date. You just put your pecker through the mail slot and you start banging on the door. Start sucking. Just yell through that peephole.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So
when you see the walker moving toward the door, that's or
so
the
this
dog
is what Peter's talking.
All right. This is
so no, Sandy.
Yeah, she's 17. She should slow it down.
But she wants some guidelines.
All right.
So could we do that?
Sandy. How many dates? What do you guys think?
Have any dates?
17?
Yeah,
doesn't it
17.
Sound like she already knows? She kind of has an idea of the answer, though.
Well, she did it after a week, and it fell apart.
Because, like, really? The thing is, I learned from my experience. I learned that, you know, 1 week, it didn't turn out good, so I shouldn't do that. But I have no idea, like, when, because I don't know.
Generally, when sex is based on intimacy, things go a lot better. And, you know, if you find the guy's real hot, huh?
I'm not really, like, I've never been really that intimate, or maybe have, like, I really just don't know what the difference is.
Here's the thing. At 17, going for real intimacy is sort of, you know, a waste of time. You should be dating and having a good time. But once you start having sex, you change the whole dynamic of the relationship. And if you wanted to get to know the guy better and you wanted to develop a friendship, it ain't going to happen. Once you start having sex, things stop in other areas in terms of developing feelings for the person as a friend.
No, that's why guys that get laid at 15 are stupid. Because that's it. There'll be learning.
Guys enjoy the whole chase of it, you know, and as much as some guys may not, like, want to admit it, but, like, you know, if they get it too soon, they just, they lose interest, you know, especially a 17-year-old. Come on.
Yeah.
You're not going for the marriage,
right? Right, right. At least the guy's not, you know.
This guy's probably 38, though. Sandy?
Yeah.
How old was this guy?
He's 20.
20, yeah. When a 20 is dating a 17-year-old, he's usually just looking to get laid anyway.
Absolutely. Well, he's not looking for good conversation.
So. That's what all my friends told me.
All right. Well, you got to listen to all your friends. All right?
Yeah, I should.
All right. Well, Sandy, here's the deal. You sound kind of immature, and that's fine. You're only 17, but you seem a little saucer-eyed.
Yeah.
And the world's your oyster. Everything's new and exciting. So here's what you need to do. Slow down a little. You're moving a little too fast.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
Go out with guys your own age.
It's really hard. I don't know. The damn hormones. hormones.
Wow.
That's what I always say.
Yeah, where's, yeah, and then you want to have dad around to sort of eyeball these guys.
And that really actually
does affect me. Thank you, damn hormones.
You don't have a dad?
My dad's never been around, and, like, I totally have these urges to be on men, and I know it's because of that. Like,
yeah, all right. Well, there it is.
I don't know what to do about it, though. Like, I really want, I need men, but I don't know how about getting it the right way. Because, you know, the way I do it, I sleep with them. But I know it's not the right way to feel the connection I want, but I don't know what to do about
it.
If
you stop it all right now and see, I mean, you know, I know we say see a therapist, but there are good reasons for that. Because left to yourself, you're not going to do anything but what you know to do from what you've been through. And your experience with men, it's going to lead you right into the
bed. Here's the thing, too, is there is a never-ending supply of 19-year-old guys with boners and El Camino.
Yeah, right.
And not in that order.
Right.
Oh, maybe in that order, yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, the point is how, you know, we always talk about this, which is if you're a 16, 17-year-old girl, your dad abandoned you, everyone becomes daddy, you have many issues surrounding men, all of a sudden you wake up, you're 15, you got a C-cup going, and guys are checking you out at the mall, what are you supposed to do?
Fill the
school's
empty place.
Boring, everything else sucks, your mom's busy with work and her new boyfriend who you don't like, and all of a sudden you're the belle of the ball. And so you start going out with these guys, and these guys aren't great guys because you don't know any better. You're 16, you're 15, you're 17, they're 21, 22, 23. They're losers, but because they're 5 years older than you, you look at them as deities.
Right.
They come around, they use you up, your self-esteem diminishes, and as your self-esteem diminishes, you start going out with worse guys more often, trying to fill a void.
Yeah.
That was good.
Oh, that was
well amazing. Done. I was just going, wow, this... He's got this all thought out.
Yeah, maybe I should talk more. That's it. That's my pledge in the new year, to talk more.
Right.
Yeah, and judge. That's my resolution.
But also, Sandy, do something for somebody else. I mean, this is a great night to talk about getting together with friends, not looking at how you can please yourself, not looking at, you know, get together and form some sort of a group, get some donations going for the tsunami thing. Start doing some things for other people. And
she's going to get together with a few guys, sex, get drunk, and fall, pass out.
Okay.
No, but it is, I know it sounds trite and ridiculous, but seriously, getting together and getting some money and doing something from somebody else. I was a Catholic Big Brother for a while, far, far before any quasi-celebrity came to my life. I was a Catholic Big Brother, and I remember I got sort of sucked into it, like a friend of a friend, and next thing you know, I'm at a meeting, and next thing you know, boom, they give me a kid, and it was like, he lives far away, and I got to see him every Sunday, and I got to buy the Taco Bell and stuff. It was rewarding. It was the best thing I ever did.
Yep.
It really was.
I got roped into the same thing.
Yeah.
First year in medical school.
I recognize you. You were my kid. put that wind-up beanie on it. Lick that giant lollipop.
That's why I'm so successful. No, but it was a great thing.
It was.
Change.
And it takes time, but people that get a lot done have plenty of time or are able to get things done. And it does something for you. And again, you know, you hear the cliches, better to give than to receive and all that kind of stuff. But it really is important. And by the way, look at any loser. Find any guys living in a crappy one bedroom and he's in his 40s or living at home or got a car with a bunch of primer and Bondo on it or doesn't have insurance or doesn't have a hot wife or any of that stuff. Find a loser. I'll find you a guy who gives nothing. I'll find you a guy who gives zero, whose favorite charity is themselves. Mm-hmm. That's the guy. Find me a guy who's got everything. I'll show you a guy who finds time to donate. Look at the correlation. And it's not just about money. It's not, well, of course, the guy has a crappy job. He doesn't. No, you don't. Look, I didn't have any money when I was a Catholic Big Brother. It doesn't cost any money. Just spend a couple hours on a weekend. That's all. You show me a guy has nothing, I'll show you a guy gives nothing. All right.
Absolutely.
So forget about the tsunami victims. This is for you. This is a selfish act. You should give money.
And you are a millionaire.
I'm literally a millionaire. Yeah. I may have to kick over something, too. Thanks for bringing that up, by the way, Bruce.
Quite welcome.
We will, and by the way, do as I say, not as I do. That's another adage I like. Linkin Park represented here tonight. Also, Hoobastank here talking about the relief for the tsunami victims. You can go to the Red Cross. You can go to the website, which is www.musicforrelief.org. Just one word, musicforrelief.org. Make your contribution or call 1-800-HELP-NOW. 1-800-HELP-NOW. We'll be right back after this. There, buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. Doing an adequate job. I'll give him a five. Drew will be back tomorrow night along with Crystal Method. Brad Mike here tonight from Lincoln Park. Doug from Hoobastank in tonight. Getting involved with the tsunami relief, and if you want to make a donation to that very worthy cause, you can just go to www.musicforrelief.org. All right, or you just call the Red Cross, and 1-800-HELP-NOW is the Red Cross number. They will happily accept your donation.
You know, Adam, I'm really, really stoked that during the break you pulled Mike and me aside and told us how much you're planning on giving to Music for Relief. And I know you're going to probably wait till later in the show to keep, you know, people tuned in to let them know.
I
want to say it was extremely generous.
Thank you.
We really thank you. You know, it was just extremely generous.
You must be a very, very rich man. Because like you were saying, you know, if you give a lot, you must have a lot. So
you really practice what you preach.
I don't want to give anything away. And the reason I pulled you aside off the air is because I don't like to talk about myself on the air. My job is sort of conductor. You know, I move the calls along. I get the information to the kids. I help the kids. I don't filibust. I don't talk about myself. I don't give personal stories. Those who listen to the show know, I don't, lucky if they know where I come from or who my parents are, any of that stuff. And I don't like to talk about myself again. So I didn't want you to talk about it on the air. But, and I won't say how much exactly just yet, but I'll give you a clue. It is at least what you put into that vending machine. And then some. And then some. And I'm talking at least, could be. And by the way, anyone who's seen what came out, we got Cokes, we got cookies, we got a Snickers bar. It is going to be at least that and then some. All right, Bruce.
Yes.
You, your job, your only job really, is to get me coffee and pick the calls.
I picked number six.
You're one for two.
At it and you...
You poked at it, but remember the sticker plan?
I put it there.
Yes.
You moved it three times since I put it on six.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Mike?
Yeah?
I'm calling you a liar, Bruce. You're 17?
Yep.
What's up?
Not a whole lot. How are you guys doing?
All right. Hold on a second. First off, never talk to dudes. That's the one thing I've learned from doing this show. Don't talk to 17-year-old guys. Oh. I know, but it's like the brakes locking up on a freight train, just sparks sailing out. Mike, we'll talk to you in a minute, but there's no chicks. Sam? Yeah. Could Sam be a chick? This Michelle. All right.
We can help her.
Michelle?
Hey, what's up?
You're 21?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I have a question for Dr. Bruce. I really love sex, enjoy it and everything, but I cannot seem to have an orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried it on my own, you know, messed with myself, doing all that, and I just can't. And I know I've been really close, like the guy I'm with, I've been with him for a couple of years, and I'm comfortable with him, but it's like when I get to that point, like I'm close, I can't, and then I don't really freak out, but I just kind of like, okay, let's stop. Like,
yeah, you're all up in your head.
Yeah, it's very common in women. It's very common for women in their 20s not to be anorgasmic, not to have orgasms, and it's not related to a disorder of any sort, but it...
I've found it goes from mid-teens to just past menopause in terms of the age range of women who have almost no ability to orgasm.
Seriously, a significant percentage of women in their 20s don't have orgasms, and that will
What about
change.
Oral sex? Does he give you oral sex?
Yes, he does.
And you get close?
Yeah, I get really close, like, I just, and then I don't know, I just, like, stop. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. The only thing I can liken that to is a guy's when once in a while you get drunk and you try to pull the hat trick off. Like, you know what I mean, just, you got some time to kill. Maybe, like, remember when you were in high school and you took a sick day and you just went at yourself like a maniac for, like, an afternoon? And you're like...
Did you ever used to play games like that? I got a friend.
Yeah.
He's a friend.
Mm-hmm.
A friend. You know who he is. who I've caught a few times doing this on his lunch break or sick days, whatever. Mm-hmm. He would be playing Nintendo and stuff like that, and like he'd challenge himself, like if he beat the level, gotta do it.
Like a drinking game.
Yeah, basically that was it.
Wow,
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, really.
We went to high school together.
What was it, when you do the drinking games? You watch like
I'm
Bob.
So excited
watch
about
Bob
this.
Newhart. I like this. This is a new challenge.
Right.
Like I could do it on the road. Like if I make this light, I got to squeeze one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically,
it's kind of like
yeah.
that. It was for old Nintendo. You remember the Kung Fu game, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you just go like right across the screen and you beat things up every time you went up the stairs.
Those are short levels.
Yes. I know.
Oh my God!
It was a sick day, man.
Yeah,
sick.
And just think about this. Yeah. She said she loves sex a lot right now. Think about how much she's going to like it when she can orgasm.
Yeah, I know. Women are amazing. They can have sex. Like I got a boyfriend. They go at it for twice a day for 3 years. No orgasms. Guy, by the way, fifth or sixth try, no orgasm. I'm quitting. Yeah. Whatever it is.
Different mentality.
I don't care what it is. I don't get an orgasm. I'm going home.
Right.
That's my mentality.
Anywhere.
Yeah, oh, no, anywhere.
Restaurants.
No.
Ball
sporting
games.
Events,
yeah, yeah.
Work, it doesn't matter. If I don't see some, if I don't cash in, and I mean now, brother, I'm out of here. Oop. I'll be staying for the next hour. All right, let's talk to Michelle. Michelle?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so you're all up in your head. You're pushing too hard. You're only 21. You got to sort of relax and let it come out of you. If you try to squeeze it out, it's not like giving birth to an orgasm. It's more like it's more like a tampon got wedged in there sideways or something. You got to relax.
You're comfortable with your partner.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And have you talked about this?
Yes.
Okay, you feel like he's familiar enough with female anatomy to understand the way things.
All right. He does a good job.
Yes, he does a good job.
All
right. It's me who then like will freak out or be like, okay, hey, let's stop. Or
all right. Well, just take it slow. What about a glass of red wine?
Glass of red wine.
Yeah, loosen you up a little.
It doesn't work. I don't know.
All right.
But once you get into the whole mindset of starting to feel anxious and focusing on the inability to have the orgasm, it really makes it much less likely that that's going to happen. And to realize, for some reason, especially teenage girls, when they're focused in on a problem like this, and women in their 20s, it doesn't mean you have a psychological problem or a mechanical problem. It's very common not to have orgasms.
All right, but don't push.
Yeah.
And like I said, as a guy, the only thing I could think of would be equivalent would be that going for the third in the afternoon.
There is no equivalent.
You get the calf cramp going, and you're pushing too hard, and then in a second you can go either way. And then if you push too hard, it can screw the whole deal up for you. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I have something called grit, though, and I'm usually able to, come out on the happy side. Sam?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yes, I am.
Wow.
Hey, Adam, you're my hero, man.
Thank you. We're just talking about masturbation, and that's what your question is.
Yes, it is, my friend.
Wow. All right, what is it?
I can't call you my friend. I'm sorry.
No, you may. Go ahead.
All right. Hey, I'm pretty regular about that sort of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I pretty much every day. But the thing was, I had let up for about, 3 days over the weekend, and went back at it, and everything went fine, and then this yellow gelatinous balls started, like, they were like mass came out. It was very, I mean,
it's perfect
liquid, but
perfectly normal. Sometimes even something called hematospermia, you can have blood in your sperm. It does not necessarily mean there's a problem, but it
really,
from clearish.
What's yellow? Is yellow an infection?
It can be, but not typically.
But everyone always calls in and asks about consistency. That doesn't make a difference, does it?
No, consistency has to do with, there are many variables that would affect that.
Mm-hmm.
Just like people call in and ask about what foods they can eat to alter the taste of the sperm. There are many sort of urban myths about this. But if you have a yellow disc,
don't hold back on it.
Yeah, come on.
I don't have any special information.
I know it's liver,
garlic,
bacon.
Yeah, oh, that would definitely do the trick, give you a special taste.
What do you think? I don't want to know what makes it good. I want to know what makes it bad. You know what I mean? I'll stay away from that.
I should never gone down that road.
I don't need to be like some sort of like vanilla soft swirl coming out of me. But I just don't want it to be, you know, rank.
You know
what I'm saying?
Yeah, I really don't have any information on that. But yellow discharge is a problem. Yellow sperm or yellow, that's not a problem. What he's describing.
If it's leaking yellow, you got an infection.
Oh, absolutely burning when you urinate.
But if the batch is yellow, you're fine.
Right.
Okay.
Mm. Good to know.
Yeah. I'm going to go test during the commercial. Right. You want to talk to Alana?
Yeah.
All right. Alana?
Yes?
You're 15?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, I am on to talk to Linkin Park. Hi, guys.
Hi.
I was wondering which one of you thought of Music for Release, because it's just a wonderful idea, and it's so generous. I want to thank you guys so much.
Well, I'm gonna call Brad out because he normally won't call himself. He won't pat himself on the back, but he definitely a lot. Just being on the holiday break and whatnot, everybody's seeing this stuff on the news and kind of thinking how horrible it is. And I know Brad was on a vacation as well, but he called everybody up and said, "I can't believe this. We need to do something." And I don't want to just. I mean, I don't want to just point the finger to Brad. I also want to. Mention that there's a lot of other groups. If you check out the site soon, we're hopefully going to have, Brad, is this correct? We're going to have the other groups' names up?
Yeah, we can mention some tonight.
I actually have a list, too, just so the listeners know. Besides Hoobastank and ourselves, we got Jay-Z, Korn, 311, yeah, Michelle Branch, Inspector Deck of Wu-Tang Clan, Stained, Hoobastank, Puddle of Mud, Story of the Year, Tricky, Limp Bizkit, Trust Company, Static X, and Incubus, with a link. They have a link from their Make Yourself Foundation site. And all these artists are just some of the people that have gotten together and helped out with this thing. So it's a really cool thing.
That is so awesome. And the LPU really, really appreciates it.
Hey, Alana, you going to give some money?
Yes, I will. I will make sure to convince my parents that I will give at least $10.
Liar, liar, whore, liar, whore, and you know it.
Never.
Wow.
Harsh.
All right, now wait a second, Alana. I think I heard the chirp of a smoke detector.
Yes, you did.
All right. So let me get this straight. You got money for the tsunami relief, but you don't have $2 for a 9-volt battery.
I don't know what the hell is wrong with it.
How long has it been doing that?
Here's where it gets good.
2 years.
2 years.
Do you understand who we're dealing with here? Now, it's going to go.
Did you really pick that out just by listening?
Oh, it's going soon.
That's amazing.
Get under it.
Used to it so you don't hear it at all, you know?
Here it comes. It's where
dangerous.
Is it? Wait. Where are you standing? Stand under it.
Okay.
Are you under it?
Yeah.
Okay, because it will go about every 30.
Linkin Park knows about my beeping fire alarm. Great.
Yeah. They're fascinated, believe me.
They were going to take you on tour with them, but not anymore.
Hey, you know...
You've proven to be a liability. Yes.
I sold the most tickets for you guys for Project Evolution. You know that, right? I won your Ibanez guitar.
Ooh. Oh, really?
Nice.
Wow. That's now you've broken even.
Yeah.
You had the smoke. See me because I couldn't get to L.A.
Mm-hmm. And Alana, hold on one more time.
You're on the way.
Will you please stand directly under that smoke detector?
Okay.
I'm trying to pace the chirp. It goes about every 33 seconds.
Okay.
All right, now be quiet. Let's see if we can hear it.
Shh. This is Kick-Ass Radio.
Mike, do a rap about it.
Shh. Oh, come on. Why isn't it going off? Are you standing underneath it?
Yes, I am.
There it is.
Right.
Wow, that thing's on a wider spread than I've ever seen. That thing's going off about every 45, 50
seconds.
That's
because it's been going off for, she said, like 2 years. So
yeah,
it's been slowing
probably
down.
Battery's probably dead.
Do you live, is there a man in the house?
Mm-hmm.
There is. Is he confined to a wheelchair?
Yeah, is he
or is
feet
he
tall?
Just like chained to a bong? Like he can't get on a goddamn chair and put the battery in the thing?
It's supposed to be connected electrically. I don't know.
All right.
Can you imagine living with that
evidently,
for that long?
It's not. Oh, let me tell you something.
Never really sleeping.
Oh, we have. We talk to people where it's in their room.
Intervals.
It's above their bed.
Right.
I say you would drive a reptile insane. You understand? Like if you had an iguana in an aquarium, it would eat its own tail, try to kill itself because it would go insane because of the chirping every 34 seconds. People get used to it. And let me just say this about that. Imagine when they made the smoke detectors. Somebody, and there must have been some sort of federal regulation that these things have to last this long. They have to put out such and such a decibel noise. When the battery gets low, they probably made very stringent guidelines. Like, look, it has to be 100 decibels. It's got to be every 30 to 35 seconds. Nobody could ignore it.
Nobody could possibly.
Yeah. Now, not only people ignore it, I don't think people can fall asleep without it. And and here's the thing. We're breeding whole generations because now I talk to people and it's like, yeah, I got a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old. They're being weaned on this stuff. It's like roaches where the next generation got used to the poison. It doesn't work anymore. The smoke detectors don't work anymore because people grow up with the chirp.
So the next generation smoke detectors should have no chirp at all. Like just
yeah, and people are just going, I'm going insane! Yeah.
What's going on? We got to change the battery.
Better yet, just make it out of styrofoam, like from IKEA or something, and stick it up there. Yeah, drive everyone insane. Go ahead and change that battery. Today's the day you change that battery.
Why so many Loveline callers, though, have that chirping?
I don't think that's a great sign.
I don't know. It's scary.
I think it's like, why? Like if you said, like, why do so many Loveline callers have Ivy League degrees? You know what I mean? That would be a good sign. Why so many have the chirping smoke detector in the background? Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, let's take a little break. Oobastank here tonight. Linkin Park here tonight. We have a very worthy cause for you. We'll just go to where was that? Yeah. No, wait. Where did I write that down? Give me the way. Oh. It's under here.
Even,
there we go.
You know it. It's
www.musicforrelief.org. That's www.musicforrelief.org. Give until it hurts. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce. Filling in for Dr.
We're having our own conversation over here. Yeah,
sorry, could you excuse us for a second? We're having a conversation
important
over here.
You guys just use it like our national airways, like your private intercom.
Just all. Hanging out on the air. It's great.
Linkin Park here tonight. Hoobastank here talking a little about the relief effort for the tsunami. And they've Linkin Park has generously given $100,000. Of their own money, and you can go to www.musicforrelief.org if you want to get in and give a little too. Yes.
And don't let that dollar amount scare you. We do have friends that have given like $10, $20. Anything you can give,
dude,
please.
I told you not to say how much giving. Why'd you do that?
We do have friends in this room besides Doug that, anyway.
Yes, anything is going to help, and I imagine it goes a long way in that part of the world.
Yeah, it's when we were over there. I mean, just like I was imagining when we heard about the tsunami in the first place, what we saw like on our days off in between shows. Because when you're playing, if you just come into town and play a show, you don't really get to know the area so much. Mm-hmm. But if you've got a day off and you can really go and like visit, just go look around a little bit. That was the first thing I thought of is like some, we got in a boat and just kind of saw the city from, from the water. And that was I was thinking of that. Like some of these houses, some of these places are little shacks, you know, people are not living off very much. So a U.S. dollar is, it is considerable. You know, if you can give a couple bucks, it does make a big difference.
Once it gets converted into the local currency, it really goes a long way.
Yeah. And, it's good, not only good karma, but, it's a nice calling card, you know, the money ain't, coming from, Benny Laden and company. It's coming from, the blue eyed guys over here, your buddies. Your buddies with their red ties and the sport coats. United States. Yeah. We should show, it's a good chance to step up, show the rest of the world we're not so bad. Yes? Yeah. Let's kick Canada's ass is what I'm saying.
That's a race.
I was waiting for that.
Cheap Canucks. What do they send over, like a hockey puck and a Gretzky jersey?
Some Labatt's blue.
Yeah. The Labatt's bear. Sweaty guy in a bear outfit. Come on. Mike?
Yep.
You're 17?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you. What's up, buddy?
Not a whole lot. How about you?
All right. Please ask your question.
All right. I'm going out with this girl. We're pretty serious. and, you know, I love her a lot and all that. But in the past, she's been with, like, several other people, and I've only been with, like, one person. And I don't know why. It probably sounds kind of childish, but it just, like, really bothers me, and I don't, really don't know what to do about it.
All right, here's the thing, Mike. I'm gonna change your life with a couple quick syllables, and then we got a break because I pushed everything back tonight and screwed us up. Every guy has this. I had it in spades. Every 17-year-old guy has this. They can't stand it. And the fact that you didn't get laid much really just magnifies the problem. Here's the thing. If you're going to be with her and enjoy yourself. Don't be with her and torture yourself. Don't be with her and screw with yourself or pick at yourself. Just be with her. And here's the thing. Get a little zen about the whole thing. You're not going to marry her anyway. Have a good time. Don't beat her up. Don't beat yourself up. Don't think about the other guys. Who cares? You're not marrying her. You're 17. Yeah. This is your first or second girlfriend. Don't get her pregnant. Have a good time. Don't judge. And free yourself up.
Right.
Yeah. Because there's really it really does hold you down more than it screws up the other person when you're doing the judging.
Yeah. And turn it around. Men are much harder on women than women are on men.
Yes.
She's going to be so – she loves him. She's accepting. She's not looking at
his
sexual.
Who cares? You're not marrying her. Just enjoy. Enjoy. It's going to go on for another 9 months. Have a good time. I wish someone would have told me that. Yes?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to build a time machine so I can go back and give me advice. Yeah?
It would make a big difference.
Call myself Pops. All right. Freak myself out. Really? My hair's still going to be... I'm still going to have a zit at 40?
Oh.
What's going on? All right. Hoobastank here tonight. Linkin Park here tonight. We'll take a quick break. I'll give you all the numbers and websites after this. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. Crystal Method in here tomorrow night. Good guys. Can't believe those guys play like tech music. They look like truck drivers. Brad, Mike here tonight. Also Doug from Hoobastank. And, of course, Linkin Park. If you want to get involved with this project, which is giving away a little money, doesn't matter how much. Just whatever you can afford. You go to www.musicforrelief.org or you go to 1-800-HELP-NOW, which is obviously a phone call away.
Does it strike you at all how similar Mike and Doug look? Sitting next to each other, it's not just blowing your mind right now.
Strike you how the Asian community here has to share a microphone?
Did he just do the Asian guys look alike?
I don't know, man. They all look the same?
Is that what we just got in the studio here?
I don't know.
I think it's because you're both so handsome.
Yeah.
He's trying to backtrack and covering up. Yeah.
You know, Mike,
he's right about that, but he's still backpedaling.
Yeah, I know.
Mike, you know, there's a famous... car designer with a Shinoda last name.
He did it. I think it was a Corvette. Right?
Larry Shinoda.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's no.
Something really funny. We donated some money earlier this year to a bunch of different organizations. I donated to the Japanese American.
This is Kids Without Vets.
I thought he was going to say we donated some money to Larry Shinoda.
Check this out,
Vets Without
Vets.
I met this random guy.
Like I went and visited the Japanese American National Museum and presented him with a check, and we were doing this whole big thing. Like we were standing out in the lobby, and they were taking pictures. It was like a big deal. And this random, like, 50-year-old guy comes, and his wife come, like, running down the stairs, and he's
trip
like,
and fall.
And he goes, are you Mike Shinoda? And I'm like thinking, like, he's gonna go, my kids are your fans, you know, thanks for donating. He goes, oh, I have no idea who you are. I just heard your name, and my dad's Larry Shinoda. And I actually meet the guy, like, for however long, you know, for my whole life, I've heard, oh, the Larry Shinoda. He's the famous one. Famous Larry Shinoda. Blah, blah. And then I get in this band, and I'm the famous Shinoda.
Yeah.
He's like, I get to meet the famous Shinoda that, like, everybody knows better than my dad now.
No, there's nobody listening to this show who knows who the Corvette designer Shinoda is.
That's funny, because nobody knew who I was, too, and then I get in this band, and now I'm a famous Shinoda, too, and I'm not even the famous Shinoda.
Yeah, Doug was telling me at break that he got, during the holidays when he was shopping, like Christmas shopping, people would stop and be like, dude, you're from Linkin Park.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah,
shut up. Shut up, kid.
Yeah, I am. You suck.
Dude, I met that guy, Mike. He's a jerk.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, right after I punched him.
here's the thing. Yeah, it's nice to be recognized, but in even in increments, like you're that dude from that show. You know, even when they don't. Hey, my family actually does that to me.
Hmm.
They go, "How long is that crank dumper song? That's on the Comedy Channel. Which one is that? Is that on?" So it's like they're sort of, you know.
Do they come up to you and go, "Hey, Adam, where's Dr. Drew?"
Yeah.
You're like in the mall. You're like, we don't like live together.
Here's how it works. If anyone recognizes me, it's, "Where's Dr. Drew?" And then here's the second one. "Where's the Juggies?"
Yeah, those right. Oh, that one I've heard.
Those are the two. All right. Let's, I think there's, I got a little question for Linkin Park here. Megan?
Yeah.
You're 14?
Yes, I am.
What's up, baby doll?
First of all, Adam, you are a sexy beast. I love you to death. You are awesome.
Thank you.
And
you have a younger sister?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, yeah, I mean, 14, by the time we hook up, you'll be 14 and a half, 15. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Anyway, Brad, Mike, I love you guys, too. Linkin Park is awesome, and you are part of the reason I'm still alive today. Your music, just, it keeps me here. And I was wondering, what is the craziest fan you ever met like?
The craziest fan?
Band.
Yeah, the craziest fan you ever ran into.
The craziest fan.
Well, the weirdest thing, I'll tell you a weird story. Everyone, I don't know if you know Adam's reputation, but people say, you know, he comes and he does a show, but he's like slightly aloof. You know, he's seen a lot of celebrities. They come in here every night.
I'm jaded. I'm standoffish off the air.
What's weird is last time we were here, you know, we'll go out of the room during the break, and Adam was like really, at first really aggressively hounding us for autographs.
Well,
and
I spoke to my nephews.
Right, of course.
Adam.
Actually, I had to speak to the producer about it.
Yeah.
And Uncle eBay.
I actually spoke to the producer about it, and I was like, you know, I know Adam's really into the band, but it's just a little intense.
Right.
And it literally got to the point where I was a little uncomfortable coming in today because Adam is such an aggressive... Well,
I don't know, fanatic.
I mean, it kind of freaked me out a little bit when we were over by the drinking fountain. Adam bent over to take a drink, and you could see his Linkin Park lower back tattoo peeking out from under the shirt.
I was dating someone who was pretty heavily into the park, as she called it, and I basically did the tat to sort of appease her on a sort of a drunken bender.
So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah,
it's pretty much the Ace Man. And then then I thought Doug was in Linkin Park, too, and he got pissed.
Yeah, I can see why.
Yeah, all right. So they saved your life, yes?
Yes, they did.
Good.
I've had some depressing times, and I just put on Linkin Park, and usually it helps.
Oh, good. Well, take care of that depression, all right?
All right.
All right. There's
I
not
put you guys on when I like burn my toast and stuff like that. It always makes me feel better.
No. Yeah, when I was getting the tat, I was listening to Linkin Park.
Hopefully,
when
Linkin
I'm
Park.
Really
yeah,
when I'm when really I ruin, bummed, when I'm ruined when breakfast. I run out of Snapple Apple. Damn it!
Hey,
yeah.
Take care of yourself, Megan, and don't kill yourself. There's not too many 14-year-olds that think I'm hot. All right, let's. Want to talk to Nicole?
Yeah.
Proud of Linkin Park for doing a relief. Oh, that's nice. All right. Nicole, you're 23. What's up?
How are you guys?
Great.
Good.
Okay.
Hey, I just want to say to Linkin Park, I think it's awesome what you guys are doing. I'm very proud of you guys.
Thank you.
I think it's great.
Are you proud of Doug? Are you proud of Doug, too, for being here?
I am very proud of Doug.
Hey, man, she's talking to you guys.
I just think she was a little embarrassed because people get nervous.
I
get nervous.
My first time on the line.
Really? And are you going to give some money?
I already did. I went and I put $25 down.
Good.
All right.
Yeah.
Good to go.
Thank you.
Looking out.
A lot of money. What do you do for a living?
I am a state employee.
Mm-hmm. Where do you work?
I work in Idaho. What
do you do? What do you work on?
I work for the transportation department.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, sounds fascinating. Buses and trains.
Yeah.
And what do you do?
And what do I do?
Yeah.
I am kind of like a secretary.
All right. So you don't make a ton of money, right? You're not a rich woman.
No.
But yet you dug deep and gave $25.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That'll go a long way. And one day... If a tsunami hits Boise, she's calling from
Boise.
Yeah,
it would never happen.
You never say never. That's what I've learned in this business.
Right.
Hey, it's snowing right now, so.
I'm just saying a tsunami hits Boise and somebody from some other part of the world digs deep and gives you $25. I say more, probably $25 with interest.
Yeah.
All right, Nicole? God bless you, baby doll.
Thank you.
Hey, when is Lincoln Park coming back to Boise?
Thursday.
They're coming
what?
Thursday.
We're going to be at Steve's Sugar Shack this Thursday.
It'll be there Tuesday and Thursday. They're even number.
At the Chuckle Hut.
We're opening up for the Beatles.
Wendy, what's a good? I know it's a trite question that's probably asked, but I haven't asked it in a while. Where are the good places to play now? Is L.A. jaded? Is New York jaded? Do you want to go to the middle of the country? What's the vibe like?
You mean in the States?
Yeah, in the States.
In the States.
let's let Doug answer that.
What's that place?
Way to get out of that one.
No, what's that place with the, is it Washington that has the rocks and like the canyon?
Actually, I have an answer.
Yeah.
I have a serious answer.
That's in Washington.
The best place to play, one of the best places to play in terms of fan reaction, mm-hmm. like intensity, is by far Utah.
Oh, really?
Hmm. Oh, absolutely.
I actually agree with that.
You concur. I think we've heard it before because I think the theory was they're wrapped a little tight, a little pent up, and they just explode.
You know, that's why the shows in Japan are amazing, too. Yeah.
Oh, really?
That was my theory on it all, that they were just so businesslike all the time, you know? They go to the shows and they just explode.
Yeah, they go ballistic.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I like? You know what I like to... you guys are Japanese, right? You got something going there? I like the high. You know, once in a while I turn on the TV, I see what a crazy sumo wrestling thing, and they go back to the commentators, and there's two guys wearing suits looking they're right out of 60s movies, and one guy's talking like a auctioneer is just, you know, beaked up on meth, and the other guy's just next to him like, hey. And he's basically saying, I agree. Yes, I hear, I acknowledge, and I agree.
Part of it too is that you want to be respectful in the sense like, yes, I'm paying attention.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yes, I know.
Yes. You imagine if you were doing a radio interview. I mean, you're talking to us right now, and all three of us are going, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. We're listening. Yeah.
I know you think that would be bad radio, but I would enjoy it personally.
Yeah.
And here's why we need high. I've discovered this. Yes. I now have 1,000 hours speaking on the cell phone where no one's on the other line.
Yes.
Because L.A. is the worst goddamn city in the nation for talking on cell phones. Everyone I know lives up in the hills. I live in the hills. I'm driving all around through the canyons and everything. And I tend to go on rants. So my thing is like, I'm going on a 20-minute like jag into the cell phone. And why does the arrow have to turn red? Can't the green turn arrow just stay green or just turn with the signal? Why am I sitting? I'm talking. 20 minutes goes by, and then eventually it's like, hello? Hello?
Hello?
And then I call the person back, and they're like, when do we get cut off? We got cut off right after you said hi.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I did a 20-minute jag after that. Yeah, I didn't hear any of it. And I realize I'm now 1,000 hours of talking into space where nobody hears. And I realize if they would say, hi, it would be great for cell phones. And I know this is going to, once in a while, you know, you're on the cell phone and you're talking to your guy and you're going, look, I need you to do, what I need you to do is I need you to call the guy over at the lighting place and tell him, see when that stuff's going to be ready to pick up. Yeah, see? As opposed to my idiot, it just sits there with, like, silence, and then I'm always like, Scott, are you there? Are you there? And he's like, yeah, I'm listening. But I keep saying, you know, you have that, you talk on the cell phone, you keep saying, am I there? Are you there?
It's the future of proper cell phone etiquette.
Hi, right?
The future of put up a cell phone etiquette.
Yes. And it's a tip of the hat to our Japanese brethren. I really mean it. It's not an attack. It is saying,
that's all right, man. I don't think we feel threatened.
No,
I'm not threatened.
I like what you guys have done here. May we borrow it.
You like our work?
I like your work. And I'm trying to train my guy to do it, and he goes, hi. And I'm like, I know. It's not hi, how are you? It's not I'm high. It's hi.
It's almost like hike, like football hike.
Yeah.
Minus the K.
Right.
E.
Right. Right. It could work, and it's a necessary thing for cell phone communication. Yes?
Hi.
Okay. All right. I'm right about this one, right?
Hi.
Correct.
Chris?
Correct. You are correct, Adam.
Oh, boy. That's a culture I could really do well in. I really do believe that.
I'd stop like at this point. You've redeemed yourself a little bit.
No, I mean, they're proud. They're proud.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, no, they're smart.
He's going to go, they're proud.
They work hard.
Short.
I love, great.
Here it comes.
No, no. I'm a fan. Chris?
Yeah.
19?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, I got a question about tattoo removals.
Hey!
If you like, if you get a tattoo removal by a laser, does it like leave a scar of the tattoo?
Dr. Bruce, I think this one's for me.
Go for it.
you were calling to ask Linkin Park that question, right?
Oh, no, my bad. Sorry, I was ordering pizza.
Yeah.
So if you have a tendency to scar, for instance, people that don't.
What does that mean?
Just keep moving.
Keep moving.
Can't track.
Right. If you have a. Generally, if it's done right, you're not going to scar.
Oh, the
technology's there. The keloiding, if you form keloid scars, which is pretty rare. People that. They'll have their ears pierced or a small cut, and then the scar tissue will just continue to grow into a large mass.
Let me ask you a question, speaking of Asians, which is the brother man tends to keloid, right? Darker pigment in the skin.
It's more common in dark
The
skin.
Darker your skin is, it tends to be more higher percentage chance of getting the keloiding scar.
It's more common.
What about the Asians?
No.
No.
No, but the more pigment you have, the more chance that you're going to have hypo or hyperpigmentation. You're going to have a darker area left behind or a lighter area than your native pigment after you have tattoo removal. So,
Better do it on a white guy than an Asian guy?
The lighter someone's skin, the less chance there's going to be any evidence when the tattoo removal is done that there was ever a tattoo.
All right.
Mike, we're safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys are lying.
Remove away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how many sessions?
Board, Adam, you're thinking about getting that Linkin Park tattoo removed? after this experience?
I was going to have it replaced with a Lincoln log, actually.
It's an average of 8 to 10 treatments done once a month.
And yeah.
Sometimes it's limited by pain. It depends on which.
Chris, what are you? You white guy?
Yeah.
And what do you have? An old girlfriend, Tad, or what do you have?
No, I just... Like, me and my cousin do tattoos, and my cousin branded his face, and so I wanted to do branding, but if the laser leaves a scar, then my cousin will tat something on me, and then we can laser it off to have the scar.
It's unusual to have a scar.
Oh, so wait a minute. Instead of branding yourself, you do it with the laser. You do the tat, and then you leave the scar with the laser, and it's the sort of pussy's version of branding.
Yeah. Basically.
No, you can use the same laser actually to treat scars.
All right, but look what he doesn't want to use your laser because it doesn't leave a scar.
Right, he wants a scar.
Yeah,
he wants to be it's not going to work for branding.
Yeah, it's like I need to buy new underpants. Oh, these won't do. They have no skid mark on them. He actually wants stuff that's bad.
Great analogy.
See what I'm saying?
Yes.
Exactly.
I buy the chub pack that's already pre-skid marked, already worked in.
Hey,
it's the patient that comes in that wants the complication.
Skid mark underwears.
Yeah.
The same guy, Brad, and like same guy that I was talking about earlier, my friend, quote unquote friend, like he's got a great idea. He was telling me this the other day. He got a great idea.
Hey.
White? Good. Why don't they have instead of tidy whiteys?
Hey.
Tidy brownies.
Hey.
Yep. Tidy brownies to like, you know. Erase the skid marks. You wouldn't even know you got them.
Here's what I feel like.
Not that I, or anybody in this room has that problem.
No, what is this guy? I know what you're saying. I feel like I would start crapping white to combat it. I feel like my bowel would know.
It's like the reverse smoke detector.
I really do. I really do feel like I would adjust and that it would be difficult for a couple months, but eventually start coming out like seagull crap.
And a whole thing for it. I wish I remember.
Brown.
Yeah, something like get rid of the skid or something.
I've shifted to black underpants and gray and other colors like that. White does seem like just seems like the wrong color to to choose. But I think the brown smacks of a certain problem or even a guilt. You know what I mean? It's sort of saying
it's like a comb over. Kind of thing,
yeah,
yeah,
like brown underwear with a yellow front.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you may not be able to pick out the specific skid, but you're saying you may have a problem.
It's the appearance of skid.
It's like you saying to someone, I like to wear an adult diaper around, and them going, but do you have a problem? Thinking,
no, it's for comfort.
It's for comfort. Yeah, they don't. It's creepy, right? That's all I'm saying.
I got more stories about that guy and adult divers too. So let's move on.
Well, let's play a little. let's play a little Germany or Florida. Mm. This game is sweeping the nation,
yep.
And especially it's rocketed us into the new year. Here's how the game is played, everybody. All bizarre stories either emanate from Germany or Florida. This is something I learned over at Kimmel's. And people call up, tell us the bizarre story, and then we guess, is it Germany or Florida? Yes?
Yes.
All right, let's try that. Let's speak to Adam, who's 17. Adam?
Adam, how's it going?
What's happening?
I have a Germany or Florida for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been listening to the show for about 5 years, and the best part has to be the lightning round.
Oh, really? So Bruce hates the lightning round. All right.
And I love Linkin Park, and the guitarist from Hoobastank, my friend gave a demo from one of his band. His name's SFM, but you said you were really jazzed. Is it the guitarist that's on?
Hey.
No.
Right,
hey, Adam.
Yeah.
This is called Germany or Florida, not I got to get my stoner buddy a record deal.
No, it's fine. I got Germany or Florida for you.
That's what you got to do.
All right. A man who was fascinated with explosives blew himself up after putting a homemade pipe bomb in his mouth and lighting the fuse.
Mm-hmm.
He put the device into his mouth and flicked the lighter. What?
He blew himself up with a pipe bomb.
Yeah.
In his mouth.
Yeah.
All right.
He put the device into his mouth and flicked the lighter as his petrified flatmates and girlfriend looked on. The bomb, which might have been created using instructions from a book on explosives, then blew up, causing him serious head injuries, and he died on the same day.
Mm-hmm. All right. Germany or Florida?
It's easy.
What is it? All right. Well, we'll just start, Brad. Go ahead.
It's Germany.
Germany.
Initially, I would have said Florida, but after flatmate, I'm going to have to sign with him.
I heard flatmate is well.
I don't think they have flats in the panhandle.
Mike?
I'm with the group over here.
We're all going Germany because of the flat.
Florida.
Oh, Bruce. Mm. Bruce won last night. Yes, did you not?
Bruce is such a contrarian.
Flatmate before. I know that's something they have in England. They would call an apartment a flat, but.
I don't see Germans blowing their heads off.
Well, yeah, it's like if this news article was written by somebody in England about a story in Florida, I can see your point.
Ooh, interesting.
Mm. Ooh. Wow.
Thank you. That's too obscure.
But okay. I'm going to go Germany.
I'm going Germany, too. Everyone's going Germany except for Bruce, who goes Florida. Adam, what is it, Germany or Florida?
Well, Adam, you're never wrong, but you are now. What? Because it was Florida.
Oh.
It was written in an English newspaper, though.
Oh, Mike.
See?
Way to go, man.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Adam.
Because I was thinking Florida at first because of the pipe bomb.
Yeah.
Sounds too un-German.
Yeah.
he read one of that book, that anarchist cookbook. And
right.
I heard flat, too.
He threw us off on that one.
But you know what? We deserve it because we attempted to sort of cheat in a small sense by picking out a word thinking that Adam had slipped up and seizing on that. Mm. And we've been burned. And that's two nights in a row I've attempted that feeble technique, and it did not work at all.
More the cultural overtones.
All right.
Well, Mike was right. A little too clever for our own good.
Yeah. We need to take ourselves a little break. When we come back, Greg's got a question for Linkin Park about working with Jay-Z. We got Rebound Girl pregnant. Wants to know what to do. Can't give BJ. Big her. He's too big and her mouth's too small? Hold on a second. Molly?
Oh, yeah, hey.
He's too big. He's too girthy.
Yeah. I don't know what to do.
And your mouth is too small?
Yeah.
I've always wanted that problem. That's why I've always wanted to get with Bernadette Peters. She has this very small mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Molly?
Yes.
Is your mouth unusually small?
No, I have a totally normal human-sized mouth, but I've given a blowjob before, and I guess the other guy was a little bit smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 6 inches. I'm guessing he's like 6 inches long and like 2 inches wide. Not normal.
Hold on. So he's got like a can of niblets between his legs. All right. Hold on a second.
Okay.
I know it's like one of those. No one really wants this kind of problem. But I would like this kind of problem. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, I know it probably doesn't make for better oral, but just seeing somebody having to use like a you know, popsicle stick to get their mouth around my penis would be awesome. And just like that thing that happens when you're at the dentist getting a root canal, little tears just coming down. No talk. My chicks, I got talking, smoking, chewing gum.
But do you have any practical recommendations?
Like a Slim Jim. Huh?
Do you have any practical recommendations? From a medical standpoint, I don't have any.
You know? All right. Well, we'll get into it.
Okay.
All right. Who was Dangling Park here tonight talking about the tsunami relief? You just go to www.musicforrelief.org and you make yourself a donation. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. Brad, Doug, and Mike are all here. Lincoln Park and Hoobastank and talking about the tsunami relief. These people need your money. I'm going to make a donation. Mm-hmm. I'll reveal that amount at the end of the show. Oh, son of a bitch, Dr. Drew. He goes and makes money in Florida talking to some condom nerds. I lose money staying behind doing his job. But it's for a good cause.
That's right.
That's the important thing. Hey, and you know what? It's karma. Yes?
Can I thank some people?
Sure.
I was just saying earlier during the break that, you know, we started this thing up and really kind of wanted to get to involve as many people, musicians and fans and just people we know, get them involved in the cause. And everyone's been so great. And there's been so many people that have helped us to accomplish this. I mentioned some of the bands before that have stepped up, but we should also thank K-Rock because the station's been great in terms of getting the word out. MTV too, they've been great. They actually broke the story on their website, and I'm sure I'm forgetting a lot of people, but you know, if I'm not saying your name, I want to thank you for helping to make it all happen.
And the Red Cross for jumping in with us.
The Red Cross, Hoobastank. A lot of really great bands that are making this a priority.
You go to 1-800-HELP-NOW. 1-800-HELP-NOW. That's the number for Red Cross, and you can make your donation. Or you can go to www.musicforrelief.org and make your donation to this very worthy cause. All right, let's talk to Greg, who wants to know how it was working with Jay-Z. Greg?
Yeah, what's up, Adam?
What's up? You're 16.
I'd like to ask, Linkin Park, what it's like working with Hova, Jigga Man, Jay-Z himself?
You always know the big Jay-Z fans when they start using his multiple names.
Mm-hmm.
They like to show that knowledge off.
I wish I had multiple names.
It's like Ludacris fans who call him Luda. Like, you always know
that
they're the guys. Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a real good guy, down-to-earth guy. It's kind of surprised, not so much because I assumed otherwise, but because I didn't know what to expect. And, you know, given the guy's status and how many, you know, just how long he's been at the top of his game, you kind of expect that when he comes in the studio, he kind of just runs the show and does what he feels like doing and kind of, you know, he can do what he wants. But he actually came in, he left his ego at the door, and he was really friendly to everybody. I mean, you know, it's... On the Collision Course DVD, you can see us first meeting, and you can see the guy is completely, like, he's just a cool guy, just real nice and real professional.
How'd you guys get hooked up?
We actually, MTV came to Jay and said, because so many mashups had been done with his music from the Black Album and whatnot, mm-hmm. They wanted to do a live show with him, and they said, who do you want to work with? And he called us. And
that's
nice. Yeah, we were, I mean, obviously really, we're pretty flattered at that point, but I didn't know what to, how to kind of respond to that, because it's one thing to like talk to a guy like that and say, yeah, we can do it. You mm-hmm. know, this is what it would sound like, but that's not not necessarily going to do it. So instead what I decided to do is I threw together, I did Numb Encore mm-hmm. and I did Lying From You, Dirt Off Your Shoulder, in our bus. I think we were in Europe at the time, and I sent those back overseas to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our response. Like, yes, we'd love to, and here are two songs, prove it. And he was really impressed, and that kind of set things off on the right foot.
And he was like, hey!
Hi!
Greg?
Yeah.
We're done with you now.
Thank you, Greg.
I just want to say, Adam, you're off the fizzle. rest in peace, Notorious, and Linkin Park, you guys.
All right.
And he hung up.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
And he went out like, on top, that color.
Yeah, it's great.
He got the last word.
White as a ghost. Probably had his bar mitzvah 2 years ago, and he's just walking around wigging out. All right, let's talk to Molly.
Don't knock it till you've tried it, I guess.
Molly?
Yeah, hey.
All right, so you have a what you would consider an average-sized mouth opening.
Yes.
But your boyfriend has a much larger-than-average penis.
I don't think it's 11. Maybe. I don't really know. Maybe it's just that I don't know the right way to do it. Maybe because when I... Let me
open
do
your mouth.
Graphic.
Yeah.
When I put my mouth over it and stuff, I can't really move around a lot. It's like
Logged. Can't get things done.
Yeah.
You want to make waffles. You want to program the TiVo, and you can't get anything done.
But I can't.
Guy's penis is too big. I know what it's like.
You do.
Okay. Yeah. Whereas if you're doing like, sodomy, you can get around the house and do stuff, you know. I hate to be graphic, but it's true. I can get stuff done from that position.
So what do I do?
Phone, you know, conduct a lot of business over the phone, that kind of stuff. I think this is, you know, you're, you need to sort of break each other in a little here sexually. You know, I don't think there's anything we can tell you over the phone other than sort of relax, don't push too hard, and, you know, don't freak out. And by the way, all you girls who are worried about how you're whether you're doing a good job or not, don't worry about it. It's just the fact that you're doing it.
The guy is stoked beyond belief.
Yeah, he is, especially if he's a civilian. If he's in a band like one of these guys, well, you become a little jaded, years on the road, a lot of groupies, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But for your average guy, and what does this guy do?
He plays music. He's a really cool guy.
Uh-oh. Yeah. If he plays music, he may be used to better.
He's not like... in the whole band scene, but like,
oh, he's not making any money.
He works at Coffee Bean.
He works at Coffee Bean.
Yeah.
String Quartet.
He's excited. Believe me, believe me, you could just take a tumbler and fill it with lard and just shove it on there. He'd be excited. Oh yeah. Oh wait a minute. Gotta write that down.
Yeah, write that down for me.
Yeah, that may be a good one. Hey, Molly, you're fine. Yeah. Are you guys in love?
Yeah, I'd say so.
All right.
I mean, as far as a 17-year-old relationship can go, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Very, either super, super mature or super, super bitter and jaded. I can't figure out which one it is.
It's one of those.
All right. The point is you guys just get along and mazel tov.
Thank you.
Is what we have to say. You'll be fine.
Okay.
That was almost a good pronunciation.
Was it close? I'm not Jewish, but many people think I am. So I'll take it. And I got my step-grandfather was Jewish, so I learned a lot of things from
him.
I got the lingo down. And I know how to guilt, too, because he would do that thing. Drew does that. Drew's half-Jewish, and he does that guilt thing. Like my grandpa would do that. I go, Grandpa, I'm leaving now. So you're going to leave? Yes, I'm leaving now. So you're leaving? It's like I say it 4 times, so you just feel like hell. A Gentile just let you go. Like you tell the Gentile grandpa, I'm leaving now, grandpa. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. That's the Gentiles. The Jews, they give you a little suris, as they call it. A little guilt. It's a little something for the road.
Is that accurate?
Yeah.
That was good.
Is that good? All right.
Okay.
All right. Drew does that. Drew did that to, he'll do that to Ann. Ann will go, I'm going outside. I'm going to wait for the band. Drew will go, they're not here yet. You see?
Painful.
Yeah, and he's wounded. And Ann will have to go, no, that's why I'm going out to the goddamn parking lot, you retard. Yes.
If you're Gentile, it works even better. It's even more.
What do they do? What do we do? What do you got?
You have no defenses for that.
Oh, yeah, you're saying we're not used to it?
No.
Yeah, oh, yeah, we are, anus is popping
traumatized.
We don't know what to do. Yeah. No, I'm sort of honorary Jew. When I was a carpenter, I was no one ever mistook me for a Jew. But now that I got into show business, that's the common read on me.
Mm.
See, all the years I swung a hammer, never worked with one Jewish guy. But now that I'm in a show business, that's what people think I am. And I got the nappy hair.
You got
the
hair.
Big brow, and you know I'm a Schwitzer. Sam,
yeah,
you're 24.
24.
What's up? Hey.
Oh, I was with my girlfriend. We were talking about getting married.
we both got freaked out, decided to see other people,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I knocked her up, the rebound girl.
Well, you knocked your girlfriend up.
No, I knocked up the rebound girl.
You said you knocked her up. I didn't know that.
The problem is that my girlfriend, I thought that she'd be done with me. Well, she's crazy. She still wants to be with me. And now I don't know what to do.
Okay. Your girlfriend wants to be with you even though you knocked up the rebound girl.
I think you should purchase Usher's Confessions.
Yeah, that's my life story. I thought that myself.
Hey,
he's already been there, done that, dude.
He's like, I did. It didn't help.
So is the rebound girl keeping the baby, or?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
How far along is she?
4 months.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's. I think there's a lot of gray area in this topic. Like, do you hang out, become a part of the child's life, or you just become a sort of distraction? Would it be better to let her move on, you know, remarry, get the kid consistent?
Well, how do you feel about your ex-girlfriend or girlfriend and as opposed to the rebound girl? I mean, how do you feel, like, towards them individually?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, my ex-girlfriend, she was a lot better looking. That's no lie.
Yeah. But, all right. Yeah. So that kid could be ugly.
Yeah, that's for sure. I don't want, like, an ugly kid.
They got you and the ugly chick. They don't stand a chance.
He said he didn't want an ugly kid.
Well, it's tough, you know? It's just tough. It's hard to love unattractive people.
Yeah. So you're willing to step up to the plate and take responsibility for the kid, though?
I am. I come from a long line of deadbeat dads. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be him because my dad was a deadbeat.
Okay, so there's no chance of that happening.
Do you have a good job?
Yeah.
Where do you work?
For a real estate company.
All right. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing he's a guy who drives a truck with the signs. And the real estate signs and goes and just pounds them into the thing with a single jerk sledge. Sam?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good tool name, the single jerk. It's a small sledgehammer. It's like a mini sledge. Single jerk. That's kind of like you, Sam. Single jerk. You're back with the new girlfriend, or the old girlfriend now, right?
No. I'm in between now.
You're in between. All right, if she's going to have this kid, then you're going to be sort of financially obliged to contribute a certain amount every month to raise the child. The question is do you become a distraction? Do you confuse the kid? Right. Do you show up once a month as Uncle Sam? Uncle Sam.
What?
Yeah, in a red, white, and blue.
What does that mean?
With a top hat.
That happens on April 15th.
Yes. Oh, and that's when the raping begins, let me tell you. I was thinking a lot about that. I'm not going to soften my bid, but I was thinking, I was sitting home and I was thinking, I should give something to this tsunami relief.
Tax deduction.
And then I thought, well, no, I took it a step further. Mm. I thought, wait a minute. I gave away hundreds of thousands of dollars to the federal government last year, and they're helping us. So, you know what I mean?
You kind of already are.
Yeah, I paid the federal government, and they sent over a couple of helicopters with some Bisquick in it. I mean, whatever they're doing. My point is, I didn't leave it up to them. Let the pros do it.
It's
I
a
pay
weak
them.
Rationalization.
All right. I'll kick in.
Kick in some.
All right, Sam.
Yeah.
You need to do the right thing, and what the right thing is not going to be decided tonight. You got to do what she wants you to do. You got to do what's in your heart. You have to give money.
Which she is that?
Well, she is the woman who's pregnant.
Yeah.
Okay.
The welfare of that child is your responsibility in some ways.
Yes. So
if she finds some other guy that's great, that's willing to support the kid, and you not being in the picture is better, then maybe.
I am a proponent of you saying, look, if you can hook up with somebody who's consistent, who's going to raise this child as if it was his own, and is going to be here for this child, that would be the best case scenario. Right. Better than I'll be in Florida and I'll send the kid a stuffed animal twice a year.
Yeah.
You know
unlikely,
what I mean?
But it's a good scenario.
All right. And by the way, this open adoption, you know, where the parent comes by, where like the teenage mom stops in every
confusing.
Couple of weeks and cuddles her kid for a while and then, you know, gets on the L and heads back to the trailer park. Like, is that going to be freaky for the kid?
very
like,
confusing.
I don't understand that. And everyone's like, oh, that's fantastic, this open adoption. I think it's being selfish. It's like, I don't want to raise the kid. I don't really have the time or money to raise a kid, but he's mine. I want to check him out every couple of weeks and come over there and play the good fairy, just get all the loves and cuddles, and then go back while you guys clean up the diapers and make the formula. It's just a weird...
I don't
weird...
understand. That seems like almost like a trend rather than something that has some...
Yeah, it's like, look, if you're going to give your kid up for adoption, give your kid up for adoption. If you're not, don't. But don't give it to another family to raise, and you stop by every month as aunt whoever.
Yeah, very confusing.
Very confusing. All right, let's take ourselves a break. If you guys want to get in on this pledge, I'm going to reveal my amount. Perhaps... I was going to tell Bruce, but Bruce is... Bruce is driving a car that his sister gave him.
Oh,
yeah.
How
I mean,
dare
look,
you.
I got to be honest. This is going to be a little painful, but I'm going to save you a couple of bucks.
My family Camry is a wonderful, wonderful car.
His sister gave him like a 86 Camry with 2 million miles on it. And I had to co-sign for the laser. So as much as, and I know you're thinking this guy's a doctor, things have, you know, it's been a divorce, things, you know, it's not been a great year for Bruce. Bruce, I'm saying this to save you a couple bucks.
I'll donate a guitar.
Donate a guitar?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you have a nice collection of guitars.
Well,
right?
Actually, the divorce sort of took
oh, really?
On that, too, so. But we'll negotiate something.
Maybe you put a guitar in, because you have some very nice guitars.
We'll find a way to make that
work. Get some money. Yeah. All right, and I'll reveal my donation after this. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Bruce, Dr. Drew, in tomorrow night. I'll see if I can squeeze him for a few bucks, but don't expect any blood to come out of that rock. He's tight. He's tight. Oh, yeah. Passionate, but tight.
Passionate man.
Super tight. Mm-hmm. We're talking a little bit tonight with just a few minutes left about the devastation of the tsunami and what people can do to help out those our brothers in that part of the world. Then go to www.musicforrelief.org and make their donation, or they can call 1-800-HELP-NOW, which is the Red Cross number, and make their donation. Let's take a quick question for Linkin Park. And Arvin.
Yeah.
What the hell kind of name is that?
Next one.
Okay, what's up? You got a question for Linkin Park?
Yeah, I was wondering, what's your next new album?
Go ahead, Brad. You got it, man.
Our next new album is coming out a month ago, and it's called Collision Course.
Yeah. And what is it? Is it 18 months between, a year between, 2 years between? Have you worked out an average yet?
18 albums a year for you guys, I think, right?
We're like, I don't know. We try and just keep ourselves, like, kind of entertained.
Mm-hmm. Hello? You know?
That's why this album, Collision Course, is like, it totally blindsided people. You know, it's something that that people would have never expected. It's a lot more lighthearted and fun. And, I mean, you know, with the CD and DVD with Jay-Z, it's like nobody knew that was going to happen, so... hopefully the next thing is as surprising as and exciting or more.
Rachel?
We don't know. We can't put a timeline on that.
Why do they call it a surprise? Rachel?
Yeah?
You're 17?
My name is actually Rochelle, and yeah, I'm 17.
All right. What's up there, Rochelle?
I have sex, like, a lot. My boyfriend would categorize me as a nymphomaniac, because, like, I just, I can't get enough of him. Sometimes it's annoying.
Yeah.
And,
he finds it annoying?
It's
really?
Annoying for him, not for me. Like, yeah. I don't know. I really
How old
like
is he?
To have sex, and, like, whenever I have sex with him, I orgasm from, like, 3 to 10 times during... whenever we have sex, and it could be from anywhere.
I could see that getting really annoying if I was in high school, and this multi-orgasmic nympho.
I'm not in high school.
Wanted to stop riding me.
And you're 17, though.
You're 17.
I'm in college.
Okay, how old's your boyfriend?
He's 17.
All right.
He's in high school.
I'm sure he's bummed about having an older girl who orgasms all the time and wants sex all the time.
Oh, next thing you know, you're going to tell me you have a small ass and huge cans. That's really going to piss him off.
Yep.
I would be, I'd be beside myself if I were him. Yeah, I said he was in high school, by the way.
Yeah, he is.
Where are you? You're going to junior college?
I'm going to a local community college because
junior college. Uh-oh. Here's all I'm saying. I like to shame the people that go to junior college to get them moving because they like to call community college like people who sell their eggs for $5,000 call it donating their eggs. It makes them feel better about themselves. Yes, you donated something for $7,500. That's not donating. Donating is giving to the Tsunami Relief Fund at www.musicforrelief.org. That's donating. You selling an egg is selling an egg. And you are going to junior college, not community college, not two-year college, junior college. And when I'm in charge, it'll be junior college.
Yeah.
It'll be the equivalent to looking at the kids' menu. That's why I went like, This is part of my shame program. Anyone who goes to junior college becomes a junior. When you go to a restaurant, you get the kiddie menu and the high chair. That's right. Now, the good news is you're getting the movies cheaper. I can't do anything to stop it. Rules are rules. All right? There is a good side to this. But everything else is just junior. You can't buy beer. You can't buy cigarettes. You're junior.
Got to eat at Carl's Jr.
You got to eat at Carl's Jr. That's right. Junior That's
mints.
Right. You can't
junior,
eat
it. Junior Mints.
Junior Mints. You can't eat at Bob's Big Boy. It's got Big Boy in it. You're going to the junior place, Junior. You're sitting in that high chair. I don't care if you're 470 pounds. You got to sit in that high chair, and you got to read off the menu that just has spaghetti and macaroni fingers. And cheese and chicken fingers. Mm. Yeah.
So is Rochelle sexually compulsive with a problem, or is she...
All right, don't get pregnant. Have a good time. Stop acting out. Reel it in a little bit. I think you're freaking the guy out.
Yeah, well, she also may be. Sexual addiction does exist, and it has more to do with going after just the feeling without the intimacy.
All right. Boring.
Can be a problem for some people.
All right, let's keep going. We'll come back. I'll tell you what I'm going to donate to the very worthy cause after this. Show. I think I'm going to give $3,000.
All right.
Yay. Thank you.
Woo.
Yes.
That's big.
Thank you.
Big. That's
Thank
almost
you.
As much as we spend at the vending machines.
Ooh.
That's huge. Adam Carolla, ladies and gentlemen.
My
putting
pleasure.
His money where his mouth is.
Now, I will go to www.musicforrelief.org and do that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And you guys can call 1-800-HELP. Now, if you want to make a donation, as well as go to that website.
Hey, Adam?
Yeah.
I don't think Drew's actually out of town. I think he's at his house. He just wanted to avoid this whole thing.
Oh, really? Yeah.
He
figured Lincoln Park was coming in. Who was
staying? That's right. I'll be calling in to solicit tomorrow.
Might cost a nickel. Thanks a lot, guys. You're doing the Lord's work. We really appreciate what you're doing.
Thanks for having us.
Well, who was thank Lincoln Park? Get the CDs. Go see them in concert. Support these guys. They're not running around knocking up people and suing their managers. They're raising money and putting it in the right place.
Articulate, responsible.
That's right. Keeping it real, as we like to say. Good work, guys. And much luck and success to you. Who's in here tomorrow night? Crystal Method in tomorrow night, along with Dr. Who? I can't remember that guy's name
Dr.
anymore.
Dr. Drew.
Dr. Bruce, wonderful job all week long. Fantabulous. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Bruce saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.